Welcome to episode 49 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. And I'm really excited to be back in the host seat. I'm your boy, Kofi Outlaw, and I'm back with my co-host, and who stepped up to be a great host while I was gone, Mr. Matthew Aguilar.
I hope I did it justice.
You did. I was watching. I was like into this like a fan. It was kind of nice.
I worked in a lot of Kofi-isms. Like I tried.
Yeah, I mean, you did. You had a lot of throwbacks, a lot of Easter eggs. I appreciated it. Right, I listened to all of it on vacation. It was very relaxing on the beach to hear your dulcet tones and Comic Book Nation content coming out of my AirPods. It was very nice. So good job and thank you. And producer Jim Viscardi's here too, who also helped out to fill it in. So thank you. But back with us today, one of the original Trinity members himself, Brandon Davis.
Hello, how are you, Comic Book Nation? I can't hear you, but I appreciate you answering audibly in traffic.
Shoot this man a Twitter thing at hashtag Comic Book Nation. Let him know you heard him. We're really excited today because we're not just here talking about the usual happenings in the news. We actually get to promote something exciting that's coming up. This is Comic-Con week. We try not to date these episodes.
Dun, dun, dun,
I don't know what that was. What was that?
That was me sucking the excitement right out of the air. I'm keeping all of it.
There's no way that'll ever get misinterpreted. So we're safe. Let's move on.
Yet I get the death glare every time I make a little cutesy noise.
Is that what you're labeling them as? Cutesy noises?
That's a cutesy noise.
Can I be excited?
It's a Blue's Clues noise.
No, you should be excited and you should be hyped because we do have some exciting, we're going to be having exciting things happening at Comic-Con this year. And we're going to be bringing you guys kind of up-to-the-minute updates about what's happening on Comic-Con. We're going to be throwing some bonus episodes of Comic Book Nation at you to keep you kind of in the loop. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you can't be at the actual convention, please join us, not just on Comic Book Nation, but comicbook.com as a whole, our Comic-Con page, because we are going to be there with a squad of people, and we're going to be in the trenches just getting you guys all kinds of great content and scoops, so be on the lookout. So, for this episode, before we get into that jungle of mess starting tomorrow, we are going to do a special Comic-Con preview where we break down kind of the things we're excited about, maybe talk about some of the things we're going to be missing out on this year, but a lot of stuff that we're going to be excited to see and what you guys should be on the lookout for. But that is not all because, I thought this was going to be an easy one, but things keep happening
around
Comic-Con. So we've had some big Emmy nominations that we're not going to talk about all of them because we don't cover all of TV on this show, but we're going to talk about some very relevant things to this show.
Do we even have time to talk all about the Game of Thrones nominations alone?
No, the Game of Thrones, we don't have time to talk about all 32 nominations that the show got. Yeah, it's insane, but we are going to talk about the insanity involving these Game of Thrones nominations. We're also going to be talking about Avengers Endgame, doing a little check-in because it looks like we might actually pass Avatar and get that crown for this movie. So we're going to talk about that.
We all get a little crown? Does everybody here and everybody who talks about this movie as much as we all do we all get a little crown for helping the movie?
Well, it depends. Did you go back out for that re-release or were you sitting at home?
The re-release, Kofi should have a crown. Should have given you a little plastic gold crown.
Yeah, the name Kofi already has a championship belt.
It should have been the size of Woody.
Very true.
From Toy
you still
Story.
Do. You still have it.
But did you get the poster when you went?
For Endgame?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Robbery. No, I don't know what theaters were giving this stuff away. I just went to an empty theater with me and like five other people.
Oh,
and
you got that sucks.
Yeah. You sat through PS2 Hulk for no poster.
That's lame. You didn't get a poster?
No little gold crown. Your name's not going to be on the Avatar, post-Avatar trophy.
That's Feige, actually the coolest
You owe out. Me. Yeah. You owe me a poster.
I've been helping, have some words
I've been
with
helping
him.
The Avatar effort. Oof, but anyway. We're going to get to that. And, there's a small bit of something that happened before we came in the studio. Just a tiny thing.
Jeez.
Taika Waititi is returning for Thor 4. Let's jump in there. Why not?
Thor 4. That's the Josh Trank version.
Oh, God.
It's the four.
It's the four. So, right before we came in, I thought we had a nice, easy show to get through, and then, this big Marvel scoop kind of dropped. Taika Waititi confirmed to be coming back to the MCU to direct Thor 4, the director of Thor Ragnarok, if you're somehow confused about that name, because it's so hard to remember or something. But, he's coming back. But there is a dark side to this, because Taika was actually slated to direct the live-action adaptation of Akira for Warner Brothers, which has now been put on indefinite hold. So
got mothballed yet again.
Yep. And a lot of anime fans might say, rightly so. And funny enough, I'm one of them. Rightly so.
Bullet dodged.
They've already filmed like. They've filmed test footage.
Yeah, no, this movie. State of the art. Okay, so let's just set up the context. Like, since I've been doing this for the last, you know, decade, I've also been reporting on possible Akira movies for the last decade. I mean, the one I was really excited about was Book of Eli directors. The Hughes brothers were going to do one, and it actually sounded like they were really fighting because they were anime fans, and they were going to do it right, and then that all fell apart.
Doesn't work. Robert Rodriguez did Alita. I like Robert Rodriguez.
But I mean, Alita did all right, and Pokemon did all right. I mean, it's starting to turn around. It is nowhere near the box office mainstream draw of comic book movies. But they are trying to crack that code, and they are making better and better attempts.
And neither were comic book movies for years until So I mean,
there's still movies like Iron Man 2 and 3 out there.
Needs is still movies like 2008. Anime needs their 2008.
Yeah, exactly.
They really do, and it'll come eventually.
And so there was a small kind of contingent of fans who thought that Taika would be the kind of chosen one to help us get over that hump.
Maybe he still will be.
Do that. And so, this one, those people, it's a small group, but they're disappointed right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure the larger group of fans are like, whoo, like me, like Bullet Dodge, because we did hear things about this new one. It was going to be in Neo Manhattan. Kaneda and Tetsuo weren't like biker gang buddies. They were brothers. Kaneda's trying to find his brother who has psychic ability. It was a big change to the story. And so people were already kind of trepidatious about that. But yeah, we thought Taika would be the guy who could do this. So it is a loss. There are kind of conflicting reports right now about what's happening there.
Yeah.
Because Jim said, this wasn't just like one of like a DC movie, right? Like this wasn't just some logo they threw out and just said, yeah, we plan to do this thing. And
this
it never
Nightwing.
Happened. Yeah, it's not Nightwing or Batgirl. Like, yeah, there was already a production start date, a release date. There was test footage. There was already like location scouted. There was already like everything was already set in place. We were just they were doing the casting. Like we were just waiting to hear, and we thought maybe like Comic-Con would be something like we could hear some announcements from Akira or do something. Well, we got one, and it's dead.
But what I think is interesting is that in the report, I think it was from THR, said that Akira was kind of slowly getting pushed back a little bit. Not all that much, but it got pushed back because he wanted it to be his movie. It wasn't the movie he wanted it to be, whatever's going on. And that was interfering with Thor 4, which means Thor 4 isn't that far away from production, which means it's really not that far away from release.
No, I would say 2021.
Well, yeah, as I was saying, this could be the late 2021.
It could be the May 2021 movie.
It's pushing it.
It's pushing it, yes.
But it could be, yeah.
It could because here's why I think it's the May 2021 movie. And I think November is more realistic, but I think that May is not totally out because what other movie? May is reserved for big Marvel movies, their biggest of the year.
I guess I would have imagined they put Panther 2 in that spot, but.
No, February.
Black Panther's got to be a February movie, I think.
Got to be Black
Panther. Follow that, successful release date of the original, you get Black History Month, you have Black Panther.
Yep.
That's the place it belongs. So I think.
Hey, you're saying it has to be segregated to February?
You walked right into that one.
I'm just kidding. It is really weird. It is okay. I'll make this black guy official. Black Panther should stay in February.
But anyway, the other movies that it could be, if it's going to be a sequel, is Doctor Strange 2, Captain Marvel 2. Or
Wonder Man,
or Black Panther 2. So you put Black Panther. If you're putting Black Panther 2 in February, then Captain Marvel 2. We have no idea what's going on with that. We haven't heard. That's one of the movies we haven't heard anything about.
No.
And Doctor Strange doesn't seem like a big enough hero to get the May release. The only reason Black Widow is because they didn't have another movie to put in this coming May because Guardians 3 was going to be
after.
Thor is a May caliber movie.
After Infinity War and Endgame, Strange probably has enough cachet to hold his own.
There's a lot of mainstream fans bubble.
Thor big coming off of.
No, but they look at Infinity War and Endgame, and I don't know how many times I've heard people who went back and watched the first one, who never seen it, because they saw him in Infinity War and went, oh man, he's awesome. Where do I go find it? I literally had people ask me.
Yeah.
Numerous people.
No. He was also way better in Infinity War.
But I don't think, I'm kind of with Brandon on the logic of this Thor 4 thing, because I think Doctor Strange that would be reserved, especially if it's something darker with like Nightmare and that sweet spot between like the holiday rush and after the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so you switch them. I think Thor 4 is May.
Yeah.
And then Doctor Strange 2 is that November 5th, 2021.
I don't think you're wrong from a, like, those movies fit those time slots better. I'm just, the only question I have is how far along they are in Thor, whether it can be a practical possibility.
Well, how far along are they in Doctor Strange 2?
We have no clue.
That's the thing.
Well, we know Derrickson's already started, like, Derrickson's working on, like,
yeah,
the script. Strange.
Well, sure, but if Thor 4 was going to interrupt the Akira production, then it's not far away either from being filmed.
I already don't like saying Thor 4. Can we just put that out there?
I'm just glad
Taika's back. I'm already annoyed at it, and we've only just started the podcast.
Saying Taika Waititi, that guy has the most fun name to say in the world, so at least we could
It needs to be like Thor subtitled, because I don't want to say Thor 4.
Given the end of Endgame, there's a very real possibility like they could subtitle this one as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or
and let Guardians of the Galaxy 3
be what it needs to be.
Someone, I think
that would be kind of exciting.
Someone call Colin Bunn and give him back that series that they just canceled.
I think the Guardians will be in Thor 4, but I don't think they'll be a big part of it. I think they'll be kind of sent off onto their movie so that Guardians 3 can be. I think Guardians Volume 3 inevitably becomes what it was always going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think Endgame kind of maybe took the chemistry between Hemsworth and the rest of the Guardians cast.
Right.
And we're like, all right, we could do another scene with this because it worked really well. It was an easy scene to shoot. Maybe they added it later and they were able to pull it off and tease the Asgardians of the Galaxy. But
at the very least, you know it's going to be a joke.
But I think it's interesting because really, originally, Guardians 3 was going to come first.
Right.
So I wonder what the plan was.
If they do an Asgardians of the Galaxy, I just want Throg.
You're not going to get that, Matt.
You don't know.
I think it'll be a line walker. Like half of it will be him with the Guardians figuring something out, and then he'll go on some kind of like Thor quest by himself. I would also like to see 2012 Loki pop up and be like, you know,
be good.
Yeah.
And then create Throg.
People are already like wishing for Titan.
They already
to fix
referenced
everything.
That.
But I want to see him.
But they already said it.
Oh. Did he have a hammer?
I don't know.
Do you see a little frog with a little cape?
Here's another interesting thing, considering the Taika of it all and what we saw in Ragnarok. Eternals is going to happen first. And there was so much Kirby stuff in Ragnarok, just even with like Eternals and the idea of the Celestials at the very least. Be curious to see if that all potentially ties in down the line, setting up even more, like if Eternals ends up being a hit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they retcon and make like Grandmaster and Collector Eternals and things like that. Weird stuff.
That's interesting.
Kind of it could.
Well, like in the same way that they, well,
I don't love that.
Eternals,
but
not Celestials.
That'd be interesting.
Could you imagine if you had Jeff Goldblum to cast?
Because explaining to that these two humanoids are Celestials is a lot more difficult.
What did they say? What did they say? What did they call Ego?
He was a Celestial.
He was a Celestial.
Yeah. Right. So, like, kind of comparing them to those beings, it's like, it would be a lot easier just to say these are Eternals and are just kind of like, you know, godlike beings. But, all right. So, we're all excited that Taika's coming back. We want a better title for Thor 4, and we have some speculation it'll probably be that May 2021 movie. I mean, it is the biggest
in
the franchise.
Thor is going to be a 4.
I mean, this is the first Avengers character to get a fourth solo movie, so that's big. I mean, I don't think when we all started this, we ever expected it would be Thor.
Well, he got Captain America Civil War, which is basically his Iron Man 4.
Yeah.
And he got Spider-Man Homecoming.
He's got a lot of pieces.
Yeah, no one's feeling bad for him.
He got Spider-Man Far From Home.
No one's feeling bad for him.
Yeah.
But
especially with the money he's making on the game right now.
75 mil.
Yeah,
but
he's okay.
So if Anthony Mackie gets a movie called Captain America, does that count as a fourth Captain America movie in the traditional sense?
Because it's still Cap.
Yeah.
So like, but like,
Here we go. You start splitting these MCU hairs, and then we just go off the rails.
Can we get Brandon
a Captain America movie
tinfoil hat? Can we do that?
All right, we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on because we got a lot of other stuff to cover. So we're gonna talk about Emmy nominations. Game of Thrones got 32 nominations.
Sheesh.
And it's not that it got for its controversial final season. And it's not that Game of Thrones got 32 nominations. It's just some of them are pretty ridiculous considering when you compare them to the backlash that kind of hit the season. Directing We got.
Please don't tell me the Battle of Winterfell got a nomination.
Yep, The Long Night. The Long Night. Miguel Sapinchek, The Long Night got a thing.
The face is priceless.
The episode after that.
How?
The episode after that.
Of money, Brandon. HBO has lots of it.
The episode that the cinematographer yelled at me for while not being able to see.
Yeah.
Got nominated for Best Directing.
And I believe the episode after that with the coffee cup, The Last of the Starks, got nominated. That one, so
HBO's got money, man.
This is, oh my god,
that is
I wish we could live tweet Brandon's and reaction.
Had the F coming out already. I had to find a way to finish that.
And I think this was the series finale, The Iron Throne. Was that? Yep, and that got nominated. So, which is by far one of the worst episodes of Game of Thrones. I think personally, is the series finale.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just a lot of talking and people walking around and talking.
You know what Kit Harington said when he found out he was nominated for Best Actor?
What?
You know what Kit Harington said when he found out he was nominated for Best Actor?
No, what?
I don't want it.
That was a baiting.
Yeah, so Kit Harington got nominated.
The only thing he knows how to say anymore.
Emilia Clarke got nominated, which is going to make some people. Alfie Allen got nominated. Theon, why?
The actors, I don't have a problem with the actors getting nominated.
I have a problem with Theon getting nominated. Like, what the hell was that about?
I mean, he was in like a minute.
Yeah, he had a minute, I guess.
It was a good minute, though.
I'm saying it was only a minute.
It was a solid
but
minute.
I mean, but compared to all of the television exists in the last year, Theon gets a nomination?
Right.
Okay, okay, we could go down this list. I mean, all the Lannisters, all the Starks got, the Red Woman got a nomination.
Melisandre
yeah.
got nominated. And Andrew Lincoln and Melissa McBride and Lenny James have never been nominated for an Emmy for
really?
Acting. And Melisandre got a nomination.
Lenny James has
Lenny
never
James
been nominated?
Career work.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Like I said, Lenny James
one
is
of the best characters around.
Lenny James,
I did not know that.
Lenny James, and you can at me if you want. Lenny James is one of the best actors on television.
I don't
he
know.
Is better than television.
I don't know if he gets
he's
pushed
one of
back
the
up.
Best
talented.
Character actors, period.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He is amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that the only movie he's done that I can think of recently is Blade Runner 2049, which he had such a minuscule role in, blows my mind. And he's never been nominated for Emmy. The Red Witch.
That's amazing to me.
She lit torches outside of the episode I couldn't see.
But how
Actually, she should get an award because she was the only hero of that episode because she made it possible to see it.
Yeah.
Oh. That was good.
Wow. Very well done.
Good.
Well
that
done.
Was good.
Let's just stop right here and put let's just put a stamp on this, right? Like, let's be real. This isn't just nominations for Game of Thrones season 8. Some of the directing ones, yeah. But a lot of these actor ones, a lot of this is like the Return of the King, right?
They're makeup awards, right?
Yeah, it's for the entire saga.
We didn't give that person an award in season 3, so let's do it now because it's our last
show. And I get it. The Red Woman was birthing shadows out of her crotch and doing a whole bunch of other stuff, burning children. She wore those old lady prosthetics.
But she birthed the hell out of those shadows.
She wore them so well.
Yeah. She wore those prosthetics.
Did Lena
Headley
make it on the list?
Yeah, all the Lannisters and like all the Starks, basically. All got
did the Clegans make it?
No.
Okay.
Clegane.
Wow.
I think Bran, ironically, Bran is the only one who didn't.
The king.
Yeah, the king.
The king didn't get a nomination.
The winner. Nothing.
I can understand Kit Harington, Emilia Clarke, Peter Dinklage, Nikolai Coster-Waldau. Anything other than that.
I would give it to Lena Headey.
Lena Headey.
She did a lot of wine sipping. There.
For this season, I don't know if she deserves
it
compared to the rest of television. She is a phenomenal actress, but I don't know if this season she had to do much. You know
I'll be honest, out of this whole list, the only person I would co-sign, I mean, you could say that Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke did well with the material they were given.
Emilia Clarke did a good job.
Yeah. But Maisie Williams is like the only one I would be like 100% she deserves like an Emmy nom for just the episode of, the Bells, the King's Landing episode, just had a lot of dynamic parts. You know, the Night King part, her little scenes with Gendry, all that stuff. Like she did a lot of acting work. So I would see that.
Surprised that White Horse didn't get a nod.
I'm amazed the Starbucks cup isn't on there. Best meaningless cameo appearance.
Miguel Sapochnik is such an incredible director, but the fact that he got nominated for The Long Night is just mind-blowing.
Judges just heard it was awesome. They couldn't really see whether or not, and they just got nervous. So
who'd they hear it from?
HBO with their envelopes full of money.
Yeah.
God. Worse than the NCAA.
What do you see here? I don't know. What do you see now?
They got to watch like an ultra bright version of the show.
Episode. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So that's pretty crazy. Game of Thrones. I'm sure people are going to have a lot of opinions about that. Like, yeah. But that wasn't the only kind of surprise. Star Trek Discovery. It came in with 4 nominations in tech categories, including 1 award in which it's competing with The Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek kind of rendition.
Somewhere Jamie Lovett's doing cartwheels.
Yeah, Jamie Lovett was loving that. That like Star Trek Discovery and The Orville are going head-to-head in some visual effects categories and technical award categories for their space battle episode. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, Charlie Ridgely was pretty happy because Gotham got nominated for an Emmy.
What are the Emmys doing?
Yeah, exactly. Lenny James.
What did he get nominated for?
No Emmy. Gotham?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just a technical award.
It is a pretty show.
Hey, it's a great looking show. I mean, the environments, the costumes,
like outstanding the sound editing for a comedy or drama series.
Well, that's okay.
There we go. Our whole argument was like gone.
Nope, guess not. Wow.
But you might have to start calling Emmy award winning Gotham like.
I mean, a Golden Globe Award or
Oscar-winning Suicide Squad. Yeah, go right. along with that. If it's got a Joker of any kind, you get an award. Oh man, so that's pretty crazy. But
Marvel didn't win an Oscar last year, did they? They were nominated for visual effects.
Yeah, they were nominated.
Win. First Man won. Did they? Were they nominated for 2 things? Did they win one?
They got visual. Oh, they didn't.
No, get, First Man won best visual effects.
Soundtrack.
I don't know.
Sound editing or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember. No, but First Man, yeah, that one, that was crazy. Over Infinity War.
Over Thanos.
Yeah, that's crazy
stuff. Awards don't mean much.
Not anymore. But, by the way, I guess it's not a good time to tell you you're going to get an award, Brandon.
What's the award for? I'm so excited.
I'm just kidding. I couldn't even think.
Oh, no, right. Black Panther got costume designer, right? Remember, Ruth Carter got that. And
2018, big year for Marvel Studios.
Can we give a shout out real quick?
And Ludwig Göransson for best score for Black Panther.
It's a great shirt.
What?
Oh yes,
Jim's Moon Knight shirt. Those are the first Oscars
that Marvel's ever won.
Yeah,
and both for Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Now it's Gotham's turn, though.
Yeah.
Can Pennyworth follow suit?
Oh, we'll find out at Comic-Con. We'll be talking about that in a minute. Finally, let's talk. Avengers Endgame is now under $7 million away from passing Avatar for the title of highest grossing film.
All Robert Downey Jr. has to do is this.
He just made $100.
But like,
way more than
that. That's all he has to do, and Avengers beats Avatar.
I mean, that's it. I mean, we're under seven. I was tracking the numbers just in July alone. In the first week, the median average for Avengers Endgame was around 700, between 600 and 700K. I believe for this past week, it was about between like 400 and 500K was a median average across
still
the week.
That's still pretty good. Yeah.
So that means that like it could definitely make up that difference.
That's more than I thought. I expected so 2 to 3. Kind of 2 to 3K.
Still making good money quietly. So it could still, I'd say by the end of January, first half of August, it could cross the line. The only thing I threw in this about that I wrote about was the digital home release comes out on the 30th.
Which is really the cutoff, right?
Blu-ray comes out on August 13th.
Black Panther was still out in theaters when the home video release was out.
But that's not cutoff as in it'll leave theaters. Cutoff as in most people then will divert their funds to go buy because it on home video.
Black Panther's a little different. This is a 3-hour movie, which is like, that was the thing I was writing about. It's just that little snap decision in fans' minds. Maybe do I really want to make the effort and put the money and go see it in theaters again and help beat Avatar? Yeah. Or I could sit at home, pause, and watch it and do it that way.
And get high-res screenshots and see all the stuff. I feel like if it needs to be what? What's the number that it needs to be at by that date for you to see it still making its money?
3 million away.
Really that much? See, I was thinking a mil. Like, I'm thinking if it's a mil.
2 million or under, I'd say.
Like, then those people will just
still
keep cranking until
in other countries, though.
Yeah, other countries.
Still has other countries getting the re-release.
It'll be available via Pirate.
Yeah, let's just be clear. We're not, like, leaning on domestic. It's already kind of settled domestically. Yeah. It's never going to touch Force Awakens So like it's going to be number two domestically of all time. But worldwide, yeah, the other markets, repeat viewings, people still trickling in. It could still do it. It's going to be close, though. But, I mean, it's looking – analysts are now predicting that it will pass. And you never know. There, you know, Kevin Feige could have one more trick. I personally said that, like, I would just go to Comic-Con, step out on the main floor and be like, who's going to help us beat Avatar? Go to that theater in San Diego. Like, just get started right there. Just start a hype machine one more time.
Just right in the middle of the convention.
Just right in the middle of the convention. Just the beat Avatar, you know, hashtag whatever it takes to beat Avatar.
You know what would have been amazing? If they had within Comic-Con, like, instead of, like, their booth, they would have just set up an impromptu theater and just taken tickets and had people going throughout the entire Comic-Con and like,
come on,
that.
You can do it. Pitch. Pay us.
All you got to do is go right in here. All you got to do is go right in here.
Go right in here. Pay us.
You don't even have to stay
bucks.
For the whole movie. Just go watch a scene.
Yeah. Right.
We'll sell your seat.
Here's a poster. Here you go.
Give us your ticket stub. When you come out, we'll sell it to somebody else.
4 days of that. I'm saying like,
if you go to Comic-Con as a fan and buy a ticket to a movie that's 3 hours long and you miss 3 hours of Comic-Con, you're doing it wrong.
I mean, this is true. I'm just saying.
You are really not hype, like helping us beat Avatar here, buddy.
Listen, dude, what's crazy? Think about how crazy this is. Within like 5 days, Endgame had half of Avatar's box office. Within like maybe 5-6 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made 1.2 in its first weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now it was so front loaded
at the box
office. It's insane.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
No doubt. But I mean, it is holding better than we had this whole argument about whether it would have legs like Infinity War. And it's holding pretty well. A lot of that might be spite towards Avatar, but it's still holding. So
yeah, there's some of that in there.
Oh yeah.
Well, that the one boost. I mean, they got a $15 million weekend with that re-release. So
that was much needed. All right, so we're gonna stay tuned and have a celebration on the show if this crosses the line. If I'm gonna say when it crosses the line,
how are we gonna celebrate?
If it does, I will buy donuts for the office.
Okay.
Donuts? We need something bigger than that.
Everybody, go see Avengers.
Can
we're getting donuts.
Can you get something I can have?
We need tacos. We need, like, tacos.
Yeah, breakfast tacos, because I just take
Just
breakfast.
Like Hulk, you know? Hulk handing out tacos.
All
we
right,
should get tacos.
All getting greedy.
All right, so stay tuned, because up next, we're going to preview all of the good stuff and some of the big absences coming this year to San Diego Comic-Con.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, so here we go. We got a whole Comic-Con preview coming up. We're going to talk about what we're excited to see, what the biggest kind of headlining things are, and just go through some stuff that I pulled out here that we're gonna that's gonna be at the convention. So starting right at the top, let's talk Marvel, because I mean this is like the biggest thing to talk about, right? This year is unique because a lot of the big studios have kind of taken a step back from Comic-Con this year. We're not getting any DC stuff.
Kind of taking a step back.
I'm trying to not like. I want people to listen to our Comic-Con coverage. I'm not trying to tell them that like, hey, a lot of the huge stuff.
See,
isn't
I don't
here
feel
this year.
So bad because he did the same thing to me.
I would bet that DC still makes some headlines because they'll have a booth. I'll bet you the Birds of Prey costumes are out there, or Wonder Woman, or Joker.
All they have to do is put the same Wonder Woman costume out there. Oh, they'll put the new one that showed up.
Yeah, there is a new one. It's a little shinier. Yeah. But I bet you there's costumes out there and stuff like that and posters for those movies that they're going to give out.
I'm sure. They may make, and they make drop stuff.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Why would you drop a trailer the week of Comic-Con?
I don't think a trailer. I think maybe you get a Birds of Prey poster.
Called Saving a Bunch of Money.
Well,
but,
that's true.
Well, yeah, but it, no. But, then you're, but if you drop a trailer,
you get the same effect. You can
if you drop a trailer, you drop a trailer on Friday or Saturday.
We can't give you a Comic-Con 2019, but we got this for you.
Yeah. What do you? No, if you drop your trailer on Friday or Saturday of wait a week because Saturday night it's all over for everyone because Marvel Studios is going to make all their announcements and the news cycle is all about Marvel.
But DC, I mean, has typically held Saturday morning until Saturday night. Like that's kind of the span of time.
Yeah. So, but why not wait until Wednesday and hold the whole next weekend?
We'll see.
We might. Comic-Con coverage dig out takes a little bit longer than that. I mean, realistically, it kind of takes until the next weekend to like get through everything. So
I still think we see a poster or something probably.
Yeah.
I think we'll see something.
What do you guys... Okay, let's talk Marvel. What are you guys thinking? Marvel is showing up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What... But we don't know.
Are you asking?
Yes. What do we think that they're going to show?
I mean, that
Jim, if you know, you can't spoil it.
Yeah, for real. Don't spoil it. That tease suggests Eternals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Marvel Comics suggests Eternals is going to be their big... Yeah.
Marvel Comics?
No, Marvel...
Marvel, like, they
Marvel
like, tweeted
Entertainment
something
kind
out earlier
tweeted
today.
Out, like, basically...
Get to know the Eternals!
Telling people who the hell the Eternals are now.
Get to know who the Eternals are, because... Yeah. So
and it was a full breakdown it, it of like, what books to go read, all the characters, and it's like, okay, well, that's pretty much...
That was Marvel doing some straight-up Google bait.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Tiny little fine print at the bottom. Get prepared for our...
Yeah,
for
so that would suggest that Eternals is going to be a big chunk of that.
I mean, naturally, Black Widow.
Yeah, I mean...
Black Widow.
So far... I think Black Widow will have the footage. Eternals will have the kind of star power casting reveals.
And I would imagine concept art because I know that they have a sizzle reel for both. Yeah. That they're showing like licensing partners.
For Eternals and what else?
And Black Widow. That include concept art and all sorts of crap. I don't think they're going to show that to the room because it's the sizzle reels that traditionally are more industry focused than consumer focused. But I imagine we will probably get concept art in the same way that we got concept art for Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get Black Widow footage.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah,
Black crazy Widow. Early.
Black Widow I don't think but the Black Widow Eternals. Footage will go online. I think it's for Hall H only.
Probably.
Probably.
I think you'll get Black Widow footage. You'll probably get maybe Jeremy Renner for Black Widow.
Yeah. Probably.
So here's the thing. Do they tease their big slate? Do they do one
I
of
think,
those slate?
I don't know. I think that would be more D23.
Okay.
I think D23 is going to be all Disney Plus.
Disney Plus.
I don't think you're going to get much more on the Marvel Studios.
So then here would be the spot to do your slate.
I don't know if they're going to do like an image that like that. Yeah, I don't think they're going to outright say, here's everything. I think they're going to pick a few movies and focus on them. And
I think,
like I think we'll get Black Widow's date, the Eternals date, Shang-Chi date.
Black Panther 2.
Thor 4 date, since that came out. It obviously is coming out this week for a reason. Yeah. People are talking about it.
Yep.
Which I don't know if that's... We had this conversation in the office earlier. I don't know if that's Marvel Studios slipping it out or Warner Brothers delay being the cause it got out. But it got out this week, and that's not a coincidence. So Thor 4 release date. Guardians 3 release date.
I don't think they'll do Guardians 3.
I think they will.
I think we'll see more on the Doctor Strange Black Panther front.
Just a date?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're only going to cover the next 2 years' worth of movies.
Yeah, I think it'll be phase four, like chapter one or something crazy like that. Like,
Like, I honestly don't think they're going to go that far out. Guardians 3 is not coming out until
2022
the earliest.
I think they could show you a chart with, like, the things we know and a lot of blacked out things that we don't know.
If I'm predicting
you'll get
a big
bunch of people
surprise,
put it in a Photoshop scene if they can lighten.
Yeah. I want to hear everybody
learn that they got to give you something, but also feed you a little mystery. Yeah. So like it's like a little bit mix of both.
I want to hear everybody's kind of lofty surprise. Like you don't think this is realistic, but it's you know you have the shred of hope it might happen.
Mine
is Fantastic Four.
See, that's what mine was. Mine would have probably been Fantastic
Four. Or Nova.
I think it'll be Fantastic something Four, with the Fox properties. Letting you know a solid plan, even if it's far off for some of those, either Fantastic Four or some kind of X-Men thing and Fantastic Four. Or they'll kind of tease you with the next big Avengers movie somehow. Like
I remember being underwhelmed when they announced Age of Ultron.
I don't remember being underwhelmed. I remember being like, oh, crap, that's awesome, because we all thought we were going to get like a really crazy, scary Ultron and an Iron Man helmet morphing into Ultron. It was really cool.
I thought we were going to get Thanos. And we got Ultron, and they were like, oh, well, you got to wait a whole long time for Thanos.
Mm. Yeah. They weren't lying. But, like, yeah, so I think that would be – those are my lofty – I don't think they're going to happen, but that would be ambitious and set on fire, because Marvel does have the ability to drop something that they don't have to explain for like another 2 years.
Here's the thing. I was going to say that. And then I was like, okay, there's no way that's going to happen.
Showed
but yes,
another
Moon Knight
title,
would
like,
be amazing.
Avengers Secret Invasion or something crazy like that. Like, people would lose their minds.
Ant-Man and the Young Avengers or Dark Avengers?
I would kind of like them to do a, I mean, they won't.
Like a younger legacy title?
Yeah, you know, something like that. Or, you know, snap, even...
Oh, my God, I can't believe we're all sitting up here talking about this, and not one of us on this panel is going to throw out something like Nova.
He did.
He did. Oh, did he? He said Nova.
I don't think they're going to announce a Nova movie, though.
And honestly, the only thing I would think of is they say is they confirm a Captain Marvel sequel is coming. Maybe.
I mean,
but nothing else
like
would really...
It's too
early.
Confirmation, finally.
We said that too.
Yeah. Oh, did we?
Yeah.
We must have just blacked out.
Do you listen?
I honestly think with, you know, I would love to see a Moon Knight movie, but I think Moon Knight as a character works better in television, and I think I would rather see him in the hands of Marvel Studios in a Disney Plus series.
Part of me thought maybe they would do like the Hulu
or in the Hulu thing.
So you don't want Jeff Loeb touching Moon Knight is what you're saying.
That's right.
But maybe they do a little bit of that, you know, vengeance verse, right. A few little details here and there. And because honestly, he fits there better.
I'm surprised we're not getting anything on that front.
Yeah, really, me too.
The Hulu Marvel TV front.
But maybe you get it here. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, so that's Marvel Studios.
Percent chance Ryan Reynolds shows up. Percent chance Ryan Reynolds shows up.
Oh, that would be big. That
percent?
Would be huge.
Percent?
If he came out with Deadpool and did like a whole Fox crossover thing, even if they didn't announce anything, that would just be...
Like, that's the thing. It's going to be sheer entertainment.
I would say that's
like
a 5% chance.
Imagine opening... Robert Downey Jr. once walked through the Hall H panel with an Iron Man hand on. Imagine opening the panel with Ryan Reynolds mic'd up, walking in as Deadpool. Yeah.
I'll go higher. I'll give it 10. I'll give it 10%.
Okay, boom.
27.
27%?
That's very specific.
27%, Ryan. I say 27%.
Do you know
Ryan
something?
Reynolds is at the Hall H panel for Marvel Studios.
27%, Kofi?
I never know when these two are talking about things they're actually betting on or things they know from like being out in the field and in the industry.
No, this is
I never know.
Speculation on our part.
There's only one thing I know about the panel, and I feel like everybody knows it.
Right. All right, so... That's Marvel Studios. Let's talk Marvel Comics. So, one big thing we're all kind of looking forward to is this Jonathan Hickman X-Men event. Like, you know, Dawn of X. And
House of X and Powers of Ten. Yeah.
Keeping all this straight is such a nightmare.
To be fair, they are dumb titles.
Yes, they are. And now they just complicated
Power
it.
Power of Ten is really stupid. Like, I'm not a fan of
that. Was a little pretentious.
Yeah.
And now it's Dawn of X... The thinking is, because they haven't said anything, right, as like confirming it, but the thinking is that it's the first wave of titles that will come out after those two series come to an end. Because we already know there's going to be a bunch of titles released after that. No names or characters or anything, but it'll probably be called Dawn.
I mean, this is like the biggest event in X-Men in years. So, and this is going to be like the big reveal of whether we're in for something like classic Hickman, really top grade storytelling, or something crazy Hickman like... Where we're all just scratching our heads like, what? Because it's already being set up this way. They've already hinged this on a major mystery about something in Moira McTaggart's memory that Xavier's going to unlock. And that's already been a loaded minefield in the X-Men mythos with, like, whole teams that have been erased and killed and stuff like that. So, who knows? Maybe she and Professor X had a son. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm interested to see who makes... this first wave of titles as far as from a character perspective. I mean, we all have our personal favorites.
I would say from a creator standpoint, 99% positive Jerry Duggan is getting a book, I would imagine.
Yeah.
God, I hope not Colin Bunn. I like Colin Bunn, but I just don't like
he's probably gonna get
the world of X-Men.
I mean, if you look at the current X-Writers right now, right? It's Rosenberg, it's Breeson. It's Bunn comes in and out, kind of doing.
I don't think they'd give Rosenberg anything because he just did.
Well, he just wrapped his X-Men story. But, I mean, I don't know. I'd see they give him a book. I mean, there's a part of me. I would love a Kelly Thompson anything.
The fact that I don't even know who half these people are tells me the X-Men needs a good reinvention. So,
but from a title standpoint, I would imagine they keep it to the classics if they're spinning stuff out. I imagine we'll get a New Mutants.
Yeah.
I would love to see an X-Force.
Well, there will be. That book does too well in the sales.
And we'll probably get maybe like one or two. We'll probably get a new X-Men and maybe one or two solo series.
Well, Hickman's staying on the main title.
Right.
Going to have a core
So he'll
X-Men
have,
book.
It's, they're either going to call it X-Men or Uncanny X-Men. It'll probably just be X-Men.
Yeah. I mean, I want some kind of... And it's typically done in X-Force, but this most recent run of X-Force is very much like the classic, like Shatterstar, Cannonball, Cable, that group. I always like it when they shake it up and do like the X-Force of like the late 2000s, where it's, you know, those were like Wolverine, X-23, and then they kind of Gambit was in the group sometimes, Phantom X,
the Uncanny X-Force stuff.
Yeah, that stuff. So I kind of hope we get that, because right now there are so many characters in the current roster, like Magic. There's a bunch of people that would fit so well in a group like that, and they're not doing anything with them. So I hope to see that. Phantom X, Magic, make that happen.
All right. So, we're also going to get an agent. I mean, for Marvel TV, we're getting an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel. I'm not too, like, thrilled about that. This season's, I mean, the show's kind of losing steam with me, so hopefully they have something good to reveal.
I am talking with the producers of that show, so if you have questions, send them to me on Twitter. Thank you.
All right. Plug away. We will be getting some DC TV. We'll have a good presence at Comic-Con.
Who Kofi is talking to.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, yeah.
Yeah, some of them.
Yeah, I'm talking, well, first we're going to be seeing things from the Arrowverse. They'll all have panels, which is important because this is Arrow's last season coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve and Amell will probably be in rare form. They'll be great.
So drunk.
I wasn't going to go that specific, but yeah. We're going to learn about Crisis. We're going to get a first screening, world premiere screenings of two new DC TV series, Batwoman, with Ruby Rose, and Pennyworth, the kind of, it's not even a Gotham spinoff, but like the same kind of concept, except Alfred.
It's the same creative team, basically.
Yeah, and it's like young Alfred.
The trailer does look cool.
It looks pretty cool, and what we've heard is like this is a violent kind of really gritty kind of noir thing with a very, it's kind of Kingsman-y.
I was going to say, although seeing the trailer for the Kingsman this week,
yeah.
I was like, God, is this Pennyworth? Like,
yeah, it's very much.
Exactly, like, yeah, very much
well,
Pennyworth.
It's got to up the ante. It's got to win, you know, audio.
I remember not being particularly interested in
sound editing away.
So I'm even less interested in young Alfred Pennyworth, to be honest with you.
I mean, as a concept, this holds no weight for me, but from what I've heard, I might be pleasantly surprised, so I'm going to be interested to see the reactions coming out of Comic-Con, because it might actually shock and surprise by
it
could be another Krypton where it just kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
I didn't care anything about Krypton when it was announced.
What's also like the stance on Batwoman so far? Because I watched the trailer. I thought it was okay, and I read the comment section, and
it's like it's an Arrowverse show. It has people in it.
I'm jazzed for it
because I
think it's one of the better. Well, no, the trailer jazzed me, but it's a weird thing because like as Kate Kane, I'm sold on Ruby Rose just the way she inhabits that character. Like I like that.
Yeah,
I am not sold on Alice or like the villain and like the surroundings feel very CW. Like they have those production values. But her as Kate and then eventually Batwoman and like her sidekick or whatever, that stuff I'm down for. Like that all looks good.
Yeah, I think they need to go a little Alan Moore and less like campy Batman.
Because when she's interact, like anytime Alice was on screen, I was like, I don't like this. This
no,
seems cheesy.
I don't like this. I need an adult. But so we're going to be interested to see what the reactions are for these two Batman spinoffs. We're going to be getting the first look at The Witcher panel's coming out. That's a big deal.
That's probably my second most exciting thing behind
me. I mean, this is the one I'm most interested in because I'm like still not like the concept of the games and the books, like translating that into a Netflix show, like in the budget, like I'm still kind of have a lot
of questions. See, I think it's so fits so well with that. I think it fits the TV and the streaming format
it's
way
not bad.
Better
it's
than
like
the movie
budget
format.
And what the results will be with like the creatures, the effects. Like I want to see how all that come out, and if it looks awesome, if it looks like a Bright or something like that, then I'm sold. I'm going to be in for sure.
I think a lot of the creatures in the Witcherverse are not terribly budget intensive, so I think you can get away a lot. If you, I don't know this showrunner's like previous work, so like I don't know how well that's going to happen. But there's an avenue to where you can make something creepy and make something kind of, you know, a situation intense, and you don't have to break the budget CGI-wise to do it. A lot of the monsters in the Witcher universe have that. Like, you can play around with that. It's not just
these
giant things.
Can any of the monsters
things.
Be real? Practical, I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, can any of the monsters be built and
like practical effects, prosthetics, makeup.
Oh yeah, there's several, especially like the ghouls and like there's a bunch of different creatures that can be just prosthetic looking, creepy, crawly thing. I mean, one of the things from like the game, and again, like it's based more on the books, but like one of the games thing is like one of the monsters is a baby that was aborted. And if they're not treated correctly, they come back as these like evil creature, little demonic babies, right? You can do stuff like that and completely practical or prosthetic, whatever. You don't have to break the bank. And there's a lot of those in there.
They should hire the guy who designed that animal's butthole on Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I didn't think that needed any following up, so yeah, I just let it sit.
Okay.
I let it sit there.
Move right along. So, Brandon, this one's for you. We're going to have Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead panels now for the first time wake of the comic ending, which is going to be hella interesting to see, because this is one of two panels where I feel like fan backlash could really spill over. This one and the Game of Thrones panel in Hall H, which is going to be...
Bunch of angry people,
yeah. Now they're going to be like some people throwing mock Emmys at the stage and whatnot.
You're not allowed to go to the bar before either of these panels.
No,
actually, maybe you want to go to the bar before these panels.
Yeah, I mean, these are going to be... I mean, the Walking Dead thing, I know. Oh, man, that could get brutal because...
What do you mean? How so?
I mean, I know they're about the shows, but fans who are angry about the comic will... I mean, this is Comic-Con. The Q&As get real, so...
I think people were actually quite satisfied with how the book ended.
You think it'll be all right?
In reading the comment sections and tweeting with people, I think people were actually more accepting of the book's ending. They're pissed about how Rick died, but the ending itself kind of made up for that. And I think it was more satisfying than the Game of Thrones ending, but I still think people are going to leave the Walking Dead panel underwhelmed.
I also think it's just going to dominate conversation.
The TV show,
right?
Panel. No, they're not going to talk about the comic at all during the panel.
No, but when you get to the Q&A sections, right? Like, that's going to come up. Like, you don't think that's not going to come up?
I honestly would be surprised if it came up more than once.
Ooh.
I would be. I think it'll
are very trusting of the Comic-Con crowds in a way.
No, I'm telling you, I think...
I have not been since I seen it, saw a man stab another
panel.
Man's eye
out. I think Chris Hardwick brings it up. I think Chris Hardwick brings it up while he's on the panel. And then Kirkman says something like, well, you know, I wanted to end the book, so I ended the book, and Rick's dead, and you can all be mad at me, and that's that. So send your hate mail to Sean McAwicks. And
that's actually not a bad Kirkman.
So I think that's where, and he'll be like, but the show goes on, and Scott Gimple will be sitting next to him like, that's right, Robert, remind them, we have a really great show, we're building an entire universe, the show's going nowhere, we're proud of Robert's books. And don't forget, we have movies coming as well, but we're not going to tell you anything about those today. I think that's how the panel goes. And you get a season 10 trailer.
And you don't think the audience is going to be upset?
I think the audience
They'll be more upset about not getting movie news than they will about the comic book ending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
All right, let's move.
The movies are going to be like an elephant in the room. They'll touch them vaguely, and that'll be it.
All right, let's move through some of these other things before we wrap up. We are going to be seeing... There's going to be a Hall H conversation with the Russo brothers. There's going to be an Avengers Endgame writers panel, the Marcus and McFeely. Those are both going to be interesting things, as our own Brandon Davis has shown.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Are we Russo'd out at this point?
No.
I am.
I mean, I don't have any more questions for them about Endgame.
What more can they say?
Dude, they have... The thing is, they're going to talk about Endgame, but also they're talking about other stuff. And I'm excited to see... them do other things. That's why I care.
They did
about the
try something.
Panel.
They did try something else, and it got canceled after a season.
Well, they produced it. They produced 21 Bridges, which looks awesome with Chadwick Boseman. They're directing Cherry with Tom Holland, which sounds like it could be pretty cool. And Magic: The Gathering, which I'm excited for. I might be the most. I'm definitely in this room the most excited for that out of everybody. But I mean, I'm not Russo'd out. I think they make.
I'm
cool
really
stuff.
Excited. That's the thing. The next thing.
Yeah, and I don't think
I'm excited about.
I don't think it's their fault that all of us were like searching through their garbage every day for a year between Infinity War and Endgame.
I didn't even mean on mine from a directing standpoint. Yeah. I more meant because of that. I'm like done with like searching every sentence they say for clues.
Which
and stuff.
To me means like the Marcus done. McFeely panel will suffer more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm over them too. So. I'm over that too. Like,
I would say Marcus and McFeely, I think, have a longer tenure at studios than I think the Russos do.
Sure.
Yeah. The Russos will come back, but Marcus and McFeely will go to other projects.
And their panels are more exciting.
But what do they have to talk about right now? I mean, I don't know. But it's going to be a big end game.
Yeah. People still have questions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Marcus and McFeely, but I'm kind of
that's other Marvel-related stuff that's going to be going on. We're also going to meet with the DC. We're going to see the DC Universe shows kind of rolled out, and we'll be talking to them. So that'll be exciting. That's the part Brandon was saying. Yeah, I'll be talking to them. The Titans cast, Doom Patrol cast. So that's going to be cool. We'll probably learn a little bit more of what's coming to that service for the five people who will be in attendance for that.
I want to see more. Are there any rumors that they're going to show like Stargirl or anything like that?
I haven't heard, but I wouldn't put it past them too. Yeah. So they got to do something.
Yeah. I mean, like, they have footage to show.
They got to do Titans season two, Stargirl. You might as well just start rolling it all now.
Being like, Jeff Johns' baby and the fact that it's going to have a Green Lantern in it. I'm totally sold on this.
We have Kirkman in our studio. Who's talking to him?
Me.
Yeah. You better put him on the spot about ending the Walking Dead comics.
Oh, boy.
Better do it.
Star Trek is going to have a major presence. Star Trek, you all. It's going to have a major presence. We're going to have Discovery. Season 3 kind of look, Picard first look, Lower Decks, the kind of comedy series, and the Orville will also be in, which has kind of hung on and become this dark horse hit for Seth MacFarlane, who can seemingly do no wrong in
TV. And for some people, like, that's the true Star Trek
show. Exactly.
So I'm amazed.
That is the true Star Trek show, so who knows. We're also going to get looks at new shows besides The Witcher that we're kind of anticipating. We're going to get a look at Seth MacFarlane's The Boys adaptation, or Seth MacFarlane, Seth Rogen, my gosh, adaptation of The Boys. We're going to get a look at Carnival Row, that new show with Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne.
Or as Jim
Delevingne.
Delevingne, as Jim says.
Whatever. She just permanently looks angry.
Delevingne.
She does. She always looks mad.
That's so good. Anyway.
Well, to be fair, she has to put up with a lot of crap and crap questions and stuff, so... she was perfectly nice when we talked to her for that movie that bombed horribly. What was that?
I talked to her too. She was fine.
The Luc Besson movie. I was so excited about Valerian as well.
Yes.
Oh, I was so excited for Valerian. And
yeah, it looked awesome.
I talked to her at CinemaCon for Valerian. She was very fine, but she was very nice in her voice, but she still looked angry.
She was very fine.
Maybe she just has intense eyes.
She was very normal.
I feel like us with bushy eyebrows always get accused of looking angry.
Kofi, you're always angry.
I have bushy eyebrows.
No, not really.
Am I angry? I'm not angry.
I'm a very fun-loving guy.
Kofi went on vacation. He came back, and he has this mantra about him that he is an optimistic, fun-loving guy. But he's always angry.
You do have a tan. It's nice.
I think I'm just environmental. Let's just say I'm environmentally sensitive and just move on from that. All right. So, finally, Matt's going to shine because we're getting a Power Rangers panel.
Yeah, buddy. So, I'm stoked for this only because, well, for a couple of reasons. But one of the biggest ones is that the Lightning Collection, which is Hasbro's, like, Marvel Legends Power Rangers line, essentially, will probably get the third wave announced and shown off at this one. We'll also get new Beast Morphers footage and probably an exact date for when that season returns. So I'm very excited for all that news. And then there's also a Boom Studios comics panel, I believe, where they'll talk about Power Rangers comics. So all good stuff. Power Rangers universe is awesome right now, I would say.
If you got to take home any exclusive from Comic-Con, what is it going to be?
For me, it's the Red Ranger... Gold Zeo SDCC exclusive 2-figure pack.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Yeah. And if we get one, we're essentially splitting it. Because he wants the red and I want the gold. So that's, yeah.
I don't usually collect things from Comic-Con, so I just kind of like the experience.
You can pass it to me if you...
Yeah, I mean, if I come across something, I always pass them on.
I'm a collector of trinkets. Like,
yeah. So I don't go for any exclusives.
I want that Mezco Moon Knight.
Mm. Oh, that, yeah. Mm. Oh, yes.
You have a contact at Mezco?
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
We better.
We've tried to reach out to them. So, yeah, that's me.
You didn't even mention WWE is going to be in the building. You got 40 seconds.
WWE is going to be in the building, but they're just doing, for like the full on event, they're only doing like an autograph signing. But we are going to have a few of them in our studio suite. So we're going to be able to interview Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Kofi Kingston, still champ. And then hopefully we'll also have a couple more.
Man, I hope Kofi Kingston brings the belt.
I hope. Oh, if Kofi Kingston doesn't bring the belt, turn him around. Send him out.
Like when we
I'm
get a picture of him,
to leave, but,
I'm going to Photoshop you next to him.
Okay. That'd be
so
awesome.
We have that photo.
That'd be awesome. So, yeah, guys, you heard it. That's a little bit. We're going to be having a suite at Comic-Con where we will be doing some great exclusive interviews that we'll be sharing with you guys for, I'm sure, weeks to come when we get back from Comic-Con. So be on the lookout for comicbook.com's Comic-Con page. Like I said, we are going to be kind of cracking things out minute by minute, hour by hour, all the latest stuff you guys want to know. We're going to have reports, interviews, features, podcasts, all of this. We're going full media. So stay tuned and join us. You can experience this convention even if you're not there, and we'd love to have you along. As for Comic Book Nation, if you want to know where to find us, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com, except for this week where we'll have a few bonuses, so check the feed. And if you want to check the feed, you can subscribe to the RSS feed on any one of our podcast articles to get new episodes, or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, and you can tell any Amazon Alexa device, play Comic Book Nation Podcast, and it will fire right up for you. If you wanted to continue any discussion with us, you can hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can contact us individually. I'm at Kofi Outlaw.
I am Matt Aguilar CB.
And I'm at Brandon Davis BD.
And if you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air, which we do periodically, we will send you a comicbook.com t-shirt. We'll tell you how to get in contact with us if you hear your review read. And we'll need your full name, shirt size, and address, and we'll send you some Comic Book Nation swag. Shout out to that guy up in Cape Cod. I was up in Cape Cod on vacation wearing the Comic Book Nation shirt.
Yeah.
And he started talking to me because he was a fan of the show. And he didn't know I was part of the show. He just was talking to me about things he liked about it, and I introduced myself, and he was a big fan, so shout out to that guy. All right. That was my first, like, real-life encounter. It was great.
And that's great, too, that he told you all the good stuff before he knew who you were.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'll say, I think we're planning on bringing a few Comic Book Nation shirts with us.
If you see
We'll give one to Kofi, one to Matt, one to BD.
Yeah, if you see us, hit us up with What's Up Comic Book Nation. Show us that you're inside this family.
Yeah.
What's Up Comic Book Nation? We'll hug it out, and if we have a shirt on us, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, buddy.
All right.
Make it happen.
So, that's for all of you that we'll see at Comic-Con. For all of you that we won't, be sure to check in, listen in, and we'll see you next time.
Deuces.